Hey, you gotta have the coolest intro.
And look at my background. Now I got Abe Lincoln. This is a history room for real. In my house, I have an actual president's room. So that's where I'm coming to. Yeah. I've got all the presidents. I've got all kind of chessboard with Revolutionary War pieces. I got everything in here.
I would show you a picture of my room, but I sent it to you earlier. I ain't gonna put it on here.
I like that though. Hey, welcome to the Nostradamus Show featuring Gary. How about that? That's my new thing.
Gary James, baby.
Featuring. Like you're a star every week.
Featuring. Co-host.
I put that too, but I like the featuring things. Like a. Honey, wait. We're not going anywhere yet. He's got a special guest on there. Oh, that's Gary again. hey, Gary. This last week, you know what? And we keep talking about this, but everything just keeps going on and on and on the same. So it's hard to get off this subject. I know Rebecca doesn't like it. I know Ange. But you know what? We don't get all the views we get because we're talking about what we ate today. Okay. This could save your life. And this could save a lot of harsh things for your kids and your grandkids, because this is serious business. And I wanted to start out with a shout out to my son, Vince, who made first team today. Yeah. All that hard work. And he also came in second in the player of the year voting too. So,
all right.
You know what?
Real Vince.
And I got to tell you, I talked to him today. I said, did you see the paper? Now, I said, Vince, this might not, because you're young and you're thinking of it as an 18-year-old, I said, but this is going to be something that you'll be proud of the rest of your life. And I know right now it's just, you know, who cares and whatever. But I said, look, I remember these days and I remember embracing it and being excited about it because all the hard work, all the hard work paid off. And guess what? To this day, they come up with the stands. You should have seen your dad hit a baseball. Look, it still means something to me. Okay, so I told him, you're thinking of as an 18-year-old. I go, think of this as a 28-year-old and the memories and your teammates. And I go, you're just not seeing it. And neither did we when we were 18, but I figured I'd at least want to tell him that.
Sure. Yeah, I mean, he should definitely embrace something like that because they'll be talking about that for a long time.
He's just not an emotional. He's nothing like me when it comes to, you know, I get excited over stuff. I want to roll a quarters at the Niles festival there. And you'd have thought I won $1 million. I knocked over 10 people celebrating a roll of quarters. I got more than that on my seat in the car. But it was about winning it that made a big deal.
I was probably playing there that year. We played.
It was a Mount Carmel all the time. Yeah, Mount Carmel. But he's just like, and I'm glad he's like he is. But I want him to enjoy it. He never gets too high, never gets too low, which is probably the best way to go through life. But I'm just trying to get
humble.
Yeah, just
humble.
But he's going to play basketball at Westminster, so we get to keep watching this. So I'm pretty excited.
I got to go sometime.
That would be good.
I'd like to see you in action.
You really don't.
I mean, I'll watch Vince. I'll watch Vince, but I know watching you is going to be exciting.
See, when your kid's out there and they're getting hacked all over the place and there's nothing they can do, it makes you just so mad that you want to just go out in the court. I mean, and he doesn't say anything. Like me, I'd have thrown the ball at the ref's head or something. He just sits there and goes, like, come on. And the coaches, I finally went down there last game. I go, hey, guys, one of you get thrown out of the game. Somebody sacrifice yourself for these refs. They suck. And then I went back up the stands. Everybody's like, God, did you just see that? So somebody scream at the ref, because that's how you know, if you watch basketball on TV, the college coaches run up and down the yelling at the ref. That's part of the game. But all the, you know, high school, you're not allowed to say anything. You just have to sit there and take their crappy calls. Yeah. But I wanted to give a shout out to Vince's fellow guard mate, Dominic Greenwood, who got a second team, which is great. But I just wanted to say, this has become a participation award also. Because listen, Dominic Greenwood, all around game, we don't win not even close to 25 games if he's not playing, okay? Because it's not just scoring, it's rebounds, assists, steals, going after those loose balls. And I'm going to tell you what has happened here, and I'm doing this on purpose, but they give one to a kid from Badger. They give one a kid from – now, let me just tell you, when your team stinks and they're leaving you wide open, Gary, you could go out there and score 20-some points. But our kids get double-teamed. Vince and Dominic got double-teamed an entire year.
Look how they play.
Yeah, but they still put up those numbers.
You're scoring 23, 26 points a game. They're going to start double-teaming them for sure.
And it's just they don't look at that. They want to make everybody happy. In excellence, you cannot make everybody happy because there's going to be people up here and here and here. And you can't fix it by just – let's just have everybody feel good about themselves. That's what it takes to work. Because I remember back when I played baseball, if you weren't any good, you didn't play at all. I'm not talking about get in the, you don't get in at all. So I remember my dad, I sat the bench when I was 6 years old or 7 years old. And he asked me how bad I wanted it. I go, I want it so bad. I want to be famous. I want to be in the paper. And he goes, do you want to do what it takes? So I'm out there on an 80-degree day on a ball field while everybody else is swimming. I'm out there getting yelled at, blisters on my hand, ball hit me in the face. He's hitting ground balls like 10 feet from me to improve my quickness. The ball's hit. My mom came out and goes, Tom, stop that. Get back in the house. You know, that was how that went. And that's how you get good, though. And it's a lot of work.
You definitely got to be dedicated. It's a lot of work for sure.
And just like those
guys are awesome. I caught a lot of the stuff off of your page because since I was sitting in Facebook jail again for another week.
I got my ankle bracelet here somewhere. I just got off of it. they still monitor me when I'm off it. But hey, just like when you picked up a bass guitar, did you want to just be good, decent, or what did you want to do? It takes a lot of work.
It's definitely a lot of work. And the thing is when my real father was alive, he was a pipe fitter by trade, but a musician, and he played every time, every night. He played every weekend, I should say. And I told him, I said, are you going to teach me this? I don't want to play guitar. I want to play bass.
Wow. I didn't even know that.
I'm telling you, you get out of there. You don't get into that music stuff. That's bad for you. Blah, 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 blah. And I'm sitting there like, why? Because you cheated on mom for all those years, you jackass. You know what I mean? But
okay, that was on air.
Yeah, he wouldn't show me. Like, he wouldn't.
You're kidding me.
Initiative. No, he didn't want me to get into
music. I didn't know that. Well,
I sat in my bedroom with one of these in a stereo, and I tried to play songs on the radio. And once I learned how to tune it, and I can find what note it is, and it's all history after that, because once you get the feel of it, just like Vincent is basketball, once he gets down to the three-pointers, which he's got mastered pretty well, it seems like, it's just, you know, and you just move forward. But it's definitely a lot of hard work, a lot of work.
I mean, anything that you're good at, it takes. I don't care. I had to play chess in high school because I got in some fights. That's what they told me I had to do. I had to join chess club. So I said, okay, instead of getting suspended, I joined chess club. Now, guess what? I don't care if I'm playing
chess, actually.
Tiddlywinks. I want to be the best at it. So I worked. I went over a nerd friend's house and in the basement so no one could see me. And he taught me how to play. And then I went to state playing chess. So I don't care what I do. I got to try to be the best at it. Everything. Yeah, I played it. I played in Columbus.
I did too.
How about I had Ange's nephew? He was on the Academic Challenge, and he's like Mr. Smart Guy. He came over for holidays. I want to challenge you. I go, oh, okay. All right, good. I usually don't like challenges that I might lose, but I thought, you know what? I'm going to take them on. he made one, we made one move, and I go, and you know how you're just trying to pretend like, and he makes, I go, yeah. if he makes that move right there, it's over. I beat him in four moves, and we went back upstairs. Sorry. Apparently, your academic challenge doesn't get it done, does it?
You were sandbagging.
Yeah, Ange goes, you should have let him win. What? I don't let anybody. I'll freaking try to beat a baby at something. I don't care who it is. You want to pound those things? I'll beat you at that, too. Come on.
Yeah, but, you can't pass the fire, you little brat.
I also got, I was taken to Hilton Head Island by the Cafaros to arm wrestle for a championship they had on the beach. And I'm beating everybody. I'm coming down to the final guy. And I'm like, man, nobody could beat me. So Anthony Cafaro was Anthony was trying to do it. And he loses again. I go, hey, why don't you send for that frog game from Chuck E. Cheese? I go, you were good at that. He got so mad at me. What? I go, you're not going to beat me. Stop doing it. I don't like the guy that writes my paychecks. I don't want to beat him arm wrestling every 5 minutes in front of. So I ended up losing to his arm was that big, and I have a technique, and I'm strong enough. And they said I didn't do it because nobody's rooting for me. Let's get that straight. The whole beach was rooting for the other guy. That's just the way it is for me, the bad guy. I'm rooting for the guy. I'm rooting for the other guy. Good, it's better that way. So when I win, it's even better. Yeah, and we broke the table, and then once he was just too strong for me to keep going, you know, so he ended up winning. But again, there's something else on my resume of nothing, who cares, but there's something else that I want to learn.
You wanted to learn, and you gave it
I want to be good. So Gary, I
should have given it all real quick, not just because we're on like a sports subject. A very good friend of mine, Bill Price, you know big Bill Price, don't you?
Sure.
He saw the his son plays for the Giants, Billy Price, came from Ohio State.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, he was on the Bengals.
Yeah, he was with the Giants. He was with the Giants this year. And he is going into free agency this week. So he's number 69 at the Giants. So I messaged him on Messenger. I said, Billy, you know, the Chicago Bears are looking for a
center. Oh, I knew you were going to say that.
So he goes, free agency starts this week or next week, I think. I said, yep. And I'll keep my fingers crossed. So. On a good note, I mean, he came from the Bengals when they were nothing. As soon as he goes to the Giants, the Bengals go to the Super Bowl. It was, right. And then he goes to the Giants, and they weren't that good, you know. But he's got a big heart. He's a great guy.
Did you see how bad is Carson Wentz that you didn't even finish a year, and they put a tag on your neck for sale? They just got the guy. He played for the Colts. He's gone, man. Boom,
the
gone.
Colts. Yeah, for sale already.
Yeah. So how bad is he? He must be really. There must be something wrong with him too. I mean, he's either a bad influence or something.
Who's that? Who's that used up quarterback that the Bears got?
Trubisky.
Not Dalton.
Trubisky.
No, he's gone.
Oh yeah, he's gone. Somebody else
is with Buffalo.
Yeah.
But it was. It came from. I can't remember what team he came from. Anyway, I looked at his stats yesterday. Not his stats, but the size of him. This cat is 6'6", 265, a quarterback. No kidding. Ooh. I'll tell you his name right here. It's easy. As soon as I see him, I'm like, yep, that's it. Andy Dalton, not him. Nick Foles.
He's that big?
6'6", 262. That's a quarterback.
Holy cow. Yeah. Man.
I didn't either.
Did you happen to see the last sporting thing I want to talk about? You see Westbrook? The fans are calling him Westbrook, and his kids, his friends at school were calling him Westbrook. He actually went on a presser and said, I'm not going to put up with people calling my name Westbrook. Wait a minute.
Is he a running back?
He's a guard, and he's on the Lakers, and he can't make a basket. He can't hit the ocean with a basketball. He's making 50. He's the third highest paid NBA player, and he's worrying about if somebody from the stands calls him Westbrook, you're lucky they're calling you Westbrook. There's some other words that probably they want to call you in L.A.
That's one thing I don't like about I used to watch the NBA all the time, and Scottie Pippen
is hard to watch it now.
It's hard to watch now, yeah. You know, but okay, let's get started. Right.
Listen, I sent you some little thing I wanted to let's talk about Ukraine because it's everybody's talking about it right now. So we're gonna
that's first on my list too.
I have something a good friend of ours unfriended me for the thousandth time because he doesn't agree with my friends on Facebook what they say. And so I told him that, you know what, I think of you very highly, but this is a character flaw that you need to fix because I don't ever think of unfriending you when we have a different opinion. I respect your opinion. I may say things a little different way because I'm trying to get viewers and I'm trying to create a little controversy, but to fall apart and get all emotional is a first sign of a liberal. No, my God, this isn't going my way. I want to leave. I want to quit. I don't want to discuss it. I don't want to dig information. I'm just going to pretend like you don't exist like everything else. It doesn't exist if you don't see it. So it's really sad. I got really upset about that because I really like it. Sure, you know, and apparently I wasn't. He doesn't have a lot of, if that's the way you are as a friend, probably not good to be friend because that's not anything like how I am. Okay, I go to battle for friends. I'll go down for a friend. I'll take the guff for a friend. I used to do it at work. I'll take the blame for you. I can handle it.
I used to be that, not liberal, but Democratic. I worked in the UAW for years.
Right, I remember.
But
you had an open mind. But I remember.
But I got friends the same way that you can't talk. You can't talk because there's like, oh, why'd you flip? I'm like I said before, they got a flip party with me. I didn't need that party. I want somebody that's going to run this country right with integrity and run it and do good for American people. I don't give if it's Joe Schmo from Tokyo or if it's Nasir Thomas. I don't care.
but I remember having an open mind, though. You didn't close stuff off. You wanted to learn whatever. And that's where you got...
I think you have to have an open mind. You can't, you know, I mean, there's good and bad everywhere, Thomas. We know that, you know?
Yes.
It's just, this is a sticky subject nowadays. Religion used to be real sticky, but now it's like politics. You say one thing, you know, what I said on Facebook wasn't even nothing.
I know. But once you get...
whacked me.
Once you get into the penal system, they're watching every move. You're on parole.
Yep. Oh, they trust me. They got both my screen names. They know everything about me.
I tried to use Razor Sharp after I got kicked off for the thousandth time, and that didn't work. They were all over that, too.
That's Gary Francisco Capricorn. Yeah, he's
in December. Yeah. And the same cell phone?
They know everything
about me. But listen, here's the thing with Ukraine. I don't know what's going on, but there's something weird going on. And that's all. I was on Ron Verb the other day, and I said, oh, look, all I'm going to say is this. Whatever the mainstream media is doing, I'm going the other way. There's something about this whole thing that's part of some kind of plan. Because I know Putin's a murderer. He's a piece of garbage, all that. But there's some reason why this madman is not just walking in there and sticking it to him and being done. So, and then you've got this Ukraine all of a sudden, this wonderful place of bliss. And I just remember, didn't I remember Hunter Biden getting a job with you guys? Some kind of weird thing going on. And you took over the country and made billions, Zelensky. So what is this like? He's like the second coming and he's the greatest guy, and everybody's the greatest people. They are a corrupt garbage place. Always have been.
What I found out this last week is they had a videotape, a civilian in Ukraine, out of his apartment window, of a Ukrainian military planting a bomb on a child's playground with a big stick. He had a big long stick and the bomb was on the end of it. And he's sticking underneath some swing set or something. Then when he got back, he took a picture of it because he's trying to say they're trying to say it was Russia. Now, that being said, Ukraine, now I don't know how true this is, but I did read this in a couple different places. Ukraine's in the top three most corrupted countries in the world.
All right. How do you think they get in bed with Biden's? That alone exactly. should tell you they're corrupt.
Right.
That piece of garbage. 47 years of corruptness.
What, as far as Putin goes, I know a little bit of the man's past. I don't know a lot of it because now everything's Russia, 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 Russia. Now, mark my words. I think the Russian-Ukraine thing is going to end fairly quick because he was over there taken out by a weapon lab. Actually, I find out there was way more than what I told you last week by a weapon labs. And there are other different countries. There's a total of like 390 bioweapon labs that are holding very dangerous pathogens.
So see, I didn't even know that. Out.
Yeah, he was taking those out and he was going after the deep state. Now, since China Biden is in with China, he thinks China Biden, I believe, actually was in with the CCP, the Communist Party of China. But when China goes into Taiwan to take care of their deep state and labs, let's see how this administration at Washington reacts then. Is he going to say something bad against China like he's doing Russia?
Well, let's really believe
it's going to be like a big flop. You watch.
If I was a military strategist and I was China, I would be making my way to Japan, because if they found their way to Japan, now they have a straight shot to Hawaii. And I really believe their goal is to take on, they want to take that step. I really do. I really think they want to give us that fear that they're on the shore of our shore and don't forget it. I'm just telling you, that's my opinion. And I think that they end all the trade. Korea's not going to be able to do any trading. Japan's not going to do all their trade. And I think that puts them right in a spot like Japan tried to do in 19 Pearl Harbor. It puts them in that spot. They can do it.
Honestly, Thomas, I think there's a lot more going on behind the scenes.
Oh, I do too.
As far as discussions, they're already talking a peace treaty out of Ukraine and Russia. That's already in talking. They're starting to talk about it now because
there's more to this than I know.
Yeah, there's a lot more than I know too. I'm looking at different things. I'm looking at stuff on Telegram. I'm going to DuckDuckGo and I'm looking at stuff on there.
Can we together debunk this a couple narratives? Supply and demand. If I hear one more person say that stupid comment, supply and demand, really? So before you even knew what Ukraine was, we had this problem. It was going through the roof. So how many more cars got on the road, supply and demand? That's the stupid. You know what? To buy that story, the gas is $5. It's supply and demand, dummy. It's more supply. It's a horse's ass narrative that most people will buy that doesn't know anything. And I'm so sick of hearing that. And I'm so sick of this pipeline thing. Look, yes, the pipeline was the finishing part of the pipeline was the Canada piece to Nebraska, which is a piece of information nobody really wants to talk about, but that was the goal. And we don't have that now. It wasn't so much that tomorrow we were going to have 80 gabillion barrels of oil. It was to show the world that we're done with you, so you better start treating us better with these oil. That's the reason it was part of this discussion.
Right.
Because it was our way of saying, come on, keep messing. We're building our way there.
You're independent.
It was to get Americans a better deal. And now the people in there don't give a rat's ass about a better deal for us. They don't care. No. Because it doesn't affect them in any way.
Actually, he on the local news, which I don't watch too often, but Biden made I call him the resident, just like Dave from X-22 report. He's the resident, not the president. He made a comment about, we're going to stop purchasing oil from Russia. And everybody's like, oh, good, he's going to do something right. We're going to get up on Iran now, or Iraq.
Yeah, I mean, or Venezuela. That's a better game.
Like, we were energy independent
a
couple years ago, and now we're going back to these foreign countries, and this, I don't know. I just get upset.
Well, and Gary, here's the way I was on the radio yesterday. Here was my point. Let's just look at it as the United States, okay? We'll just say the United States, the entire planet, just for purposes. And let's just say Austin Town decided they were going to go green, and the rest of the country doesn't want to go green. Is that going to do a dang thing in Austin Town? Is that going to change anything at all? No. It's probably going to make it worse. Probably going to hurt your citizens in Austin Town. That is this whole planet Green Deal. United States is the only one bothering with it. So how does a grain of sand on a planet matter in the whole scope of things, except we're getting our ass kicked with your stupid ideas that we don't need to do?
True. Yes, you're exactly. That's 100% correct. You are.
They're feeding off our stupidity. And the more we cut out, the more people pick up what's going on.
Fossil fuels. You need fossil fuels to make lithium batteries. To generate electricity, you need coal. These guys, right. I tell you, it's just a big ploy to
work. And also, Gary, let's see. Here's the other thing that you won't hear. Let's see. If we import oil and that stuff that we're now bringing in is 50% more emissions than what we're doing. So your idea is to stop doing something that's better for the environment and bring in shit that's not better. Wow.
Yeah.
So that's your answer?
Their energy is not as clean as ours.
No, it's 50% worse. So let's stop doing ours because we care about the planet. And let's go take this crap over here that's no good. That's how much we care about the planet.
Listen, yeah. I believe, honestly, wholeheartedly, this is all about wrecking this country, because I honestly
damn right
that they're going down.
Oblama was a Marxist, and he hated this country. And I think he's still in the background, because you don't see him or hear of him anywhere, do you? Isn't it?
He's in the background, for sure.
I know, but you don't see him. He's making sure he stays out of the limelight.
Well, last night, I think I might have discussed this with you earlier, but Pelosi, he got it to... After midnight, they put through that $1.5 trillion omnibus bill.
Yeah.
And,
yep. And nobody's, the Republicans, the rollover group is what I call the Republicans. It's not Republicans, it's the rollovers. They don't do anything about anything. They're the same joke as the other side. Same thing.
You need to settle down a little bit.
Oh, I get you.
They were sleeping.
I do. I get so mad. Man, you're really charged up because you haven't called in a while. I said, you know what? I don't like waiting on hold. I need a gold phone or something. I can't go through all these commercials and that. He goes, how about a red phone? I go, I'll take red. Give me a red phone. I want
to when you call in, your lights should blink red, white,
blue. Yeah, it should be like, answer that. Hell with the weather for the 70th time this hour. It's raining. How many times do we have to hear that? It's raining. Yep.
Oh my gosh, dude. I used to listen to that when I'd been trucking, when I was working for Lydon Oil Company. And that's all I heard. Hey, we got rain coming. Blah, blah, blah. I was just like, again?
And then when like you're doing
every 10 minutes,
when you're doing a concert and you don't want to hear that every 5 minutes, the severe thunderstorms. God, shut up. People buy tickets earlier in the day. You keep telling them it's raining, and they're not going to buy any dang tickets.
Take a look at our 570.
Stop the weather reports. Dominic told him, stop. Shut that off.
I like those guys, but they do. There's a lot of commercials, man. A lot. Oh, and I know they ridiculous. Get paid by having commercials, but there's just too many.
Yeah, but like, do they realize the more times I hear a commercial, the less I'm going to buy it? Did they realize that? Uh-huh. Guess what? Taylor, Time for Taylor. I wouldn't get a car from Time for Taylor ever. Because of that stupid commercial.
Taylor Kia, yeah, up on board.
Time for everybody but Taylor.
I hate the save big money at Menards. Oh. I hear that all the time too.
What about
I go nuts?
What about the Cordell and Cordell law firm? Oh my God. Or what about Visage or that clean your nose out thing? How many times am I going to hear that commercial? I wouldn't. I don't even know the name of it. Village or whatever the heck. It's like, oh my God.
The crazy thing is those firms, they pay for these commercials and they pay a lot of money. So the radio station's got to play them. They're like, okay, you're going to get 17 spots before noon. And that's what it is. They got to play it.
Well, you know what? I got mad because I was trying to get students to listen to the program. I forget when it was. They kept having they go through these stretches where they have these male enhancement commercials. And I'm sitting there with a bunch of kids and it would be better in the bedroom. I'm like, who in the hell is buying these ads? Who's selling ads in the middle of the day for some cheesy male enhancement product? And I got to sit there with a bunch of kids like, I don't know what that means. Something about enhancing their muscles or something. And everybody's like, God, don't they care about that stuff? I called up and bitched like you wouldn't believe. I go, who's selling these ads? You guys are this desperate. You're male enhancement pill at 2 o'clock in the afternoon. They just went, thank you for your comment. Bye, weirdo.
Yeah, that is kind of crazy. I mean, they should play those after hours if they pay for advertising. After 10 o'clock at night or something.
And I think we kind of know what the product is, like these Vagisil and stuff. Okay, what's next? You're going to show us putting it on? I mean, how much more information do we need about these products?
Especially kids today.
But I mean, sitting there with your kids, what's next? You know, apply it in front of us. I mean, I think everyone that needs that knows where it's at. I mean, knows what it is.
Knows what's got to be done.
I'm getting off the subject a little bit here. Okay.
All right. Yeah.
How'd we get from Ukraine to Vagisil? My notes here. I think I skipped a few things. Oh, there we are.
Oh,
okay. After that, we've got. Did you hear? Okay. So the mask thing, I'm going to bring that up one more time because they can't just say we're done with masks. They have to, but this, that. Think about this philosophy here. I have to wear a mask over my nose in the airport. People running them. Okay. Did you know the airplane has a HEPA filter? That's probably the best place you could ever go and knock is airplanes because of their filtration system. Okay. Right. So I have to eat something and put my nose thing back on like some kind of weird. And then in the airport, apparently the airport is different than a stadium or place for sporting events and or the Democratic or the State of the Union. But in an airport, apparently the COVID goes to the airport. Oh yeah, bro. You can't. They will. Please, you'll be $13,000 fine or imprisonment. And every time it comes on, I go like that in the middle of the crowd every time it comes on. Yeah. Okay, good. And I wear this mask doesn't do shit thing. And everyone stares at me like I'm a Martian from another planet. Oh my God. He's talking about Fauci. Oh, and he's disappeared.
Oh my God.
He was the last time he seen him, he was with Hillary Clinton. And he's disappeared, Fauci. I haven't seen him in like, what, a month? He was at the Clinton's house.
I read two things. I mean, I read a fake
he's
thing.
On the Clinton hit list.
No, I read a fake thing where he was picked up by the Navy SEALs. And then I kept reading and it's like, there's no real proof about that. Well, there isn't because he's been on, it was back in June, it said, and he's been on other shows and at the White House on brief meetings and shit. But then I heard, or I read, that he was in protective custody. Right.
From the Clintons? So,
I don't know. He better be in protective custody because if I had seen him, I'd like to put a nugget in his head.
This is the reason why none of these people actually get on a show or a talk show where it's not already, here's what you have to say, here's what you say. If somebody fired off a few of these questions, like real questions, explain to me why the airport's different than this stadium. Go ahead.
Exactly.
Why is that different? Because what? Their disease wants to fly in a plane. What is it? Explain that.
Because that's
they have no explanation. And they have no explanation that none of these things have worked. They have no explanations for the rate of, you know, people getting COVID with the vaccination, with that. They have nothing. They don't want to talk about the miscarriages and all the things that have happened. So they don't talk about it. They don't have to talk about it because their people aren't going to give them those questions. They'll give them questions.
These people that ran out and got their vaccine, Pfizer just released the ingredients. A lady that worked there, or I think a lady or a man that worked there did, and I think they lost their job because of it. But the whole list is on what's in the Pfizer vaccines. I mean, there's everything from kidney failures, liver failures, cancer, AIDS. I mean, it's massive. I got it on my phone somewhere. Of course, I'm on my phone now. But
I'd like to see that because I think each one of those is a different attack your immune system, killing people in stages for the next whatever to get rid of people. Nobody's going to make me believe anything different.
I believe it's definitely trying to do the population control
because it attacks your immune system in different ways. And the older you are, the things that attack. And that's why I'm telling you every day in the paper, there's all these unexplained deaths. I don't care what anybody says. I believe this has something to do with it. And he just had a heart attack out of nowhere. He had a stroke out of nowhere.
Over in Europe, there was a lot of soccer players just dropping dead on the field.
That's right, but you're not allowed to talk about that. See, I'm just like this big guy of let's have a talk. Everybody throw out ideas. So when you have one side that wants to shut everybody up, you have to have some common sense. What does that mean that they don't want to talk about it? That you can't be this stupid to not figure that out. And you also can't be this stupid to think, why does everybody want to get rid of Trump on both sides of the political party? Could it be that they're doing something they're not supposed to be doing? And he's an outsider and he's seeing it? Could that be the reason? Oh, that's crazy.
You know, the government was put in place to work for the people, but
serve the people. That's funny. Serve the people. That's a good
one. Obviously, for centuries, it's never been that way. They think we work for them. And that's the hardest thing I that makes me the most upset because I just like to walk in that White House and just smack the living daylights out of every one of them because they do what they want to do. We used to be a republic, I believe. This republic's bankrupt damn near, and they're going to just sign a bill for $1.5 trillion. It just blows my mind. You probably won't even hear it on the mainstream media.
No, you're not. You're also not hearing about the $400,000 for the illegal families that were detained. You heard about that?
I remember talks about it.
But now they're actually putting it into place without anybody knowing about it. Huh?
Cross the border and come back.
Oh, I could pass as a Mexican. I'm doing that. Tomas Rodriguez.
Put a poncho on, bro. Walk across that border, stand at the border, get your $400,000, and come back.
Tomas Hector Lopez.
We'll go buy a couple classic cars.
Senor Lopez.
It's crazy.
Come on, man. Oh, that's cute.
I don't understand. I think they're just trying to do as much damage as they can because they know their time's coming. And I believe their time is coming.
Well, I believe in the Bible and the end times. Unfortunately, this all has to play out. I was reading some of it last night in Revelation, and bro, if you are foolish not to start looking at Daniel and Revelation and see all this stuff coming to pass and where the big bear, which is Russia, fits in and where the China fits in the final day, people really need to look at because it's fascinating. Turkey is another country that figures in on the final days. And unfortunately, they want us to be a socialistic under the government. We have to go to them for food, everything. And it's going to happen. It's going to happen. At some point, it's going to happen.
I don't believe. I disagree with you.
Don't bet against Nostradamus.
Listen, gonna happen. I'm telling you, I think the people will stand up and go.
I didn't say it's going to happen right now, but it's going to happen before the end because that is the end. That's what happens. And it all has to play out. Well, bro, you're betting against the Lord. That's not a good bet.
No, I'm betting against you.
I'm getting my information.
I'm not betting against you.
You see that? Gary rolled the dice on a bad bet.
No, I didn't.
But I also wanted to ask you about I call this, they call it the science. I call it political science. It's political science. It's science fiction, political science. It's not right. It's not anything to do with science. I was going to ask you about, let's get into something lighter. What's up? What's the latest show wise? Where are you at now? What are you doing? Where's your next show?
Next show is March 17th, right in downtown Youngstown in the middle of the street. St. Paddy's Day in front of the Federal.
What if there's 10 inches of snow?
Well, I think they got a big circus tent put up. They blocked the road off. They got heaters in there and green beer. We'll be there from 7 to 8:30. And we have a couple more venue dates, and then everything turns outside. Everything. The Warren Amphitheater, Cortlandt Street Fair, probably Mount Carmel Festival. Huh?
So pretty much the same schedule as last year as far as outdoor?
Yeah, I mean, the bigger shows, yeah. We usually, we don't do it every year because COVID was out, but we'll probably do them this year.
Yeah, I know.
And then next year, we'll probably take a break from those same venues and do different ones.
Hey, I know I was looking around and trying to keep tabs on it because I really do want to get back the area Rib Fest. I want to get somebody to do it with me. I asked Kenny Hedaris. And we were going to do it, and then it got late, and then they did the crappy one in Boardman, and it's already set up. I mean, it's ready to go. I mean, I could do it myself, but the finances up front, I can't do. So I need to have somebody that believes in it and knows that I've spent a lot of years cutting it so you can make money. I mean, in the old days, you could make money, just throw it out there. But it doesn't work like that anymore because the bands cost a lot. People don't drink like they used to outside. But as far as the ribs and all the stuff, be mindful of that in case you run into somebody.
I will. And I think you ought to keep in mind, don't step backwards. When you guys were doing it, you were bringing in nationals. And if you can still...
Oh, no. You either do it like that or it's a bust because with shows all around here, they're not going to buy into some half-ass thing. You either do something really big or you don't do it at all. Because it's just the way it has to be. But
you guys always brought good nationals in.
Yeah, that's what I mean. But when you're with some people that money that like music, I mean, it's people that investors in that, if they don't really love music, they're not going to get it. You need somebody like Dominic was a lover of music and he had a radio station. It fits that.
Right.
Somebody just with a checkbook, it's not going to fit,
What would you incorporate a radio station in it?
Would
you incorporate?
Yeah. Yep. The radio station has to be the biggest part of it because they have to own it. You can't just buy ads because they're not going to do it enough. They need to have to live it. Like the old days, it was always a remote out there at the show. They were in it because their name was on it. So
that was good. You guys did it upright. It'd be nice to see something like that come back for sure.
Yeah.
Now here's another question. Where would you have it at?
I think I would go to Anthony and do it back where it did its best. In the front,
right up by the road.
You know what? The only one that worked in the stadium was Charlie Daniels. It was Bluebird weather, and he was something different that nobody had seen in a while. And that place just kicked tail. But the last time we did it at the stadium, man, you got to have people driving by and going, "Ooh, what's that?" You have to have that. But you know what? Do you remember when we did it on 46 in front of the old Kmart? That was it. That was a killer. That worked because it was right on the main drag 46, which is a lot more people than 422 now. Everything is switched, the front and of the mall there.
I did a show with Charlie Daniels at the Sharon Speedway. Great guy, man.
When was that?
That's when I was in the Philbillies. Probably 07, 08, 09, maybe.
Really?
I left,
so you did it after we did it then. Yeah. Okay. Wow.
I left the Philbillies in 14, and that's when I put Northern, me and Carl put Northern Whiskey together. So it had to be probably 5 years before I left. Yeah, he was a great guy. I went up on his tour bus, sat down, you know, BS with him. He signed a little bass for my son. Very cool guy.
Oh, he gave my daughter a violin and signed it. How about cool is that?
He was awesome.
Hey, and then she dropped the lessons like a week later. As I was going through the notes, and I have this big, I have to show it to you. I have every concert and all the stuff, all the riders, all the money, all the some of the stuff. I start looking at Bad Company. Bad Company was the show we made the most money on because of the deal that we made and everything with the scrappers and everything. So I'm going through, and I see the expense of Paul Rogers getting his shiny pants cleaned at the dry cleaner. It's like $61 or whatever. And I couldn't get my brother back in to give him the pants. And his show's about to go, and he couldn't get through the crowd. So I'm like, hey, guys, at the gate, Paul Rogers wants his pants. And I go, and they go, it doesn't matter who you are. I go, hold, bro, I'm going to come down there. And that radio is not going to be able to play. It's going to be somewhere where you're not going to be able to use it.
How funny.
Geez, yeah. Everybody gets all this tough. Security guards are going to get all tough now. And Paul, you can tell Paul that he's not getting his shiny pants. Go ahead.
Probably didn't even know who Paul Rogers was.
Yeah, Paul Rogers. I don't care who that maintenance guy is. He's not getting his pants. Paul Rogers or not.
What is he, a roadie?
Yeah, I don't care about Target's manager.
that's a good time, man.
He was such a good guy too. I mean, he's a legendary. I mean, legendary figure, and he's back there with beers with my maintenance guys, and I walked back there and went, "Oh my gosh," you know. And these half-ass acts, rappers wouldn't even talk to people like, and this guy's sitting back there on a garbage can. Talking and stringing, you know, with our maintenance staff. And by the way, why aren't you working, Paul? He's maintenance guys. Yeah, that's great, Paul. Maintenance guys, what are you doing listening to Paul Rogers? Get up and start working. I'll listen. Go ahead, Paul. I'll listen to you what you're doing. Why aren't you guys working, by the way? But yeah, it was really class act. Classy people. Well, in the worst of times, and I still got to tell the story. Nelly, you know, you think of all these rappers, crappy they were, all the times we did them, and they had no talent. But I mean, it's pouring down rain, and this guy comes up to me, puts his arm around me, and says, "You want me to do a rain show? How do you want me to do this?" I go, "Oh, we can't do this." I go, "We have an Indians game. We have a contract with the Cleveland Indians, and the game has to be played." I said, so if we have people come out here, it'll destroy the field. So, and the water's just piling up. And he said, so I give him a check for $90,000. He didn't do anything. It's the way it works. Okay. And he goes,
he didn't play?
No.
Nothing?
Couldn't play. Nope. Rain out.
That's an act of Mother Nature.
Yeah, well, we didn't have any insurance then, and we learned from
that. Oh, gosh, 90 grand. That would be horrible.
Well, listen, and here he gave, I'm going to give him my word. I'll come back and do it again for free. Yeah. He came back next month and did it. Yeah.
Did he?
Well, good. That's a class act. I couldn't even believe it. He rerouted his whole schedule to come through Niles and do that show. Yep.
Oh, that's awesome. Good. Yep. I like hearing stories like that.
Yeah. So, in that industry, that's so rare because I think when the acts
once they're gone, they're like, we ain't going.
Well, back. I think when the acts get older, some of them appreciate and some of them get cranky about it because they're not a star anymore. And they look at it like, oh, I got to play here and do this, you know, like, and that's that fine line when you, a reputation out there when you go to the shows to buy talent, and that's the first thing you start asking, hey, what kind of guy is he? Like, I've heard story after story after story. I'll never forget Tony Rubino. I hope you're watching, because he told me he told me Hall and Oates were gay. I go, well, there ain't no, guess what, he couldn't have been more. And that's what I mean. They have all these rumors in that, and you got to start peeling back. Because they told me, and I'm not kidding you, this idiot Bob Crosby told me, yeah, the singer for Starship, his voice is gone. Bro, he came out to the rib and even played that song, She Doesn't Buy My Store, No Way Out, or his pitch. You can't hit that in falsetto. He was singing it right there at the stadium. Yeah, his voice is shot. Yeah, so they'll talk about other bands so you don't hire them. So they all just sit at the show and, yeah, that guy stinks. That guy wants 10,000 M&Ms. He'll never, you know, they just sit and run each other down. It's hilarious. It's like a little soap opera.
Yeah, and Hall and Oates are, I tell you what, they got so many hits. It's sickening.
And they're so good. I went and saw them. I went and saw them in Average White Band, I think, in Donald Fagen. That was one of the best. I mean, they were so good. Like, each song sounded pretty much like if you put in a tape. I mean, it was, they were that good, you know? Yes. And I was really, really shocked. And I went and saw Boz Scaggs, and I thought he was really, these are really talented people. I mean, and we're losing that whole generation. We're gonna lose it all.
We did a show with 38 Special down in Raleigh, North Carolina. And them guys sounded just like the record.
I wanted to do them, Gary. I put bids on them. I put 25 grand. The last one I did, I had 25.20. No, we want 27. They would not do $2,000 a, no. And you get negotiating. I should have just paid the extra, but I was like, no, you guys probably stink anyway. And you're just telling me that. They have a lot of hits. I thought they were better than Skinner. I mean, I thought that their sound was a better sound that I like than Skinner's. Probably. Sound. Yeah, I like that.
Remember, we did the Skinner show with Nugent at Yankee Lake.
Yeah. I like that kind of like Blackfoot kind of driving, guitar driving stuff. Skinner's not so much that, but I like that guitar.
Yeah, like a southern rock.
Yeah. Like Molly Hatchet, I like some of
their
stuff.
Excellent.
And I really liked Atlanta Rhythm Section. Some of their, I like that whole era there. I really like that. And we've lost all that, but it's, you know, it's sad. And there's still,
you know what Yacht Rock is, right?
I love that, bro. I got kicked off of Yacht Rock on Facebook. Who gets kicked off Yacht Rock's page?
You. Well.
That kid booted.
My man Ronnie Williams, my old guitar player who did our intro music for us, has a YouTube page called Ship Rocked. It's called Yacht Rock with Teeth. And what he did is he played all the instruments to that song and then put the original artist's vocals to it.
To what
but
song?
It's just got a little bit, like he did, like the guy sings Thunder Island, Ferguson, Jay Ferguson.
Oh man, I gotta hear that. I gotta get. What is? Where do I pull that up?
It's on YouTube.
Okay,
I'll send it to you.
Oh yeah, please. He needs a plug. People need to.
So what he does? He's got a home studio. Ronnie does. So what he does is he takes Jay Ferguson's voice off the music. Ronnie learns all the music on a guitar, bass, drum machine. He uses his fingers, and no keyboards. And then once he gets it mixed down, he'll put Jay Ferguson's voice back on top of his music, Ronnie's music. And it's Thunder Island.
Bro,
it's got a little bit more of an edge to it. It isn't real mellow.
Where does he live? Where does Ronnie live?
Boardman.
I got to check that out. You think he'd let me check it out?
Oh, for sure. It's awesome. I got him. I got all of them. He's dead.
No, I mean, do you think he'd let me check out his studio?
Oh, he may, sure. Yep.
Yeah, maybe you can give me a cell. I'll send him a message. I'd like to see that. We just had a message. We just had a message across the screen. I don't know if you saw that. Chuck Kuntz said, did he play the triangle? Did he have a triangle? Chuck, real funny. How many jokes are you going to get out of a triangle? Really? Seriously, Chuck?
How many jokes are we going to get from Hawaii?
Yeah, I told him Upasaka last time. That means have a great day in Hawaii.
Hope you're doing good, Chuck.
I have all those slang words from Hawaii. Pompeii. Yeah. Hey, Pompeii.
One last thing I did take a note on. I wanted to know, and this is true. Trump's private jet blew an engine over top of the Gulf of Mexico. He did an emergency landing. They got everything down safe. And now he's flying around in a Cessna right now until they replaced the engines on his jet, I guess. Yeah, his private Trump jet. The blew an engine and they landed
Cessna, one of those little planes. Well, I had a promoter fly me to Sandusky. I got up and the plane went. I mean, that's how, but you're like sitting on a prop plane. I just moved a little bit and the plane's going like that. Oh my God, it was the worst ride of my life.
That ride,
I don't like that at all.
I'm not big on planes, though, but I did.
And then I took a ride on my show. I had the Batcopter, and I said, hey, Tommy, you want to ride this Batcopter? I got up in the air like, oh, my God, we're going to hit a wire or something. I just wanted off that Batcopter. Don't like helicopters.
Little trivia question. Barron Trump, his son that he had with Melania, 15-year-old, 6'7".
Yeah, he is so tall.
That kid is 6'7". His IQ is like 140 something.
Is that right? Mine was 140, believe it or not.
His IQ is 140. He's 15 years old, and his father is 6'3". But this little kid, not little, he's only 15. He's 6'7". He's not done growing yet.
That's crazy. He's going to look
like my new bull.
That's tall. Like, that's almost like a little too tall.
Dude, that's 3 feet away from 7 foot.
I told Joe that I would do this. That we are officially here right now, and then he'll help me with it, becoming a call-in show next Thursday.
Yes. So now, are we able to do that like this, or do we have to be in studio? You know,
I would believe that we could do it like this, but I'd rather do that in the studio.
Yeah, I think it makes
for a better show with Joe there helping us if we run into something or one of his people.
Well, you want to plan on next Thursday then?
Yeah, and I'll go over it with Joe. I'm gonna have lunch with him next week and talk about ideas and sponsors and stuff. And you know, that's what you do. When you're very famous like us, go ahead.
I have a couple people in mind I would like to talk to about sponsorship.
Yeah, and so do I. So, and I know with that comes some responsibility. I mean, we can't get way out in left field talking about, you know, spaceships picking us up and taking us to another planet or stuff like that. Or I can't, you know.
Yeah. Well, that's going to be next. We've been walking among Martians and people from other planets for centuries, is what I've been reading, and that's the truth. I read.
We're going to have we'll have our first guest, the guy that was abducted and taken to space. That's guest number one.
Huh? Are we allowed to drink? Are we allowed to drink?
You can drink any. Yeah, you're allowed to. You're allowed to do whatever you want.
Yeah,
you know, that might even work better for you.
Right.
As then we'll be like halfway through. And another thing, these guys just want to tell a bunch of bad nature.
You think you know everything?
I'll be right back. I gotta go to the bathroom. I'll be right back.
Right.
Honey, bring some peanuts in here. I'll take you shopping after the show, I promise.
Not like my dad. He called my mom Mo. Grab me those peanuts out there in the cupboard.
See, that little joke bit was my dad used to come home after going to the Harding game with his buddies and out all night gambling. I'll tell you what I'm gonna do. I'm gonna take you shopping tomorrow. My mom would get up. We going shopping? Who the hell's going shopping? I ain't going nowhere.
I grabbed my penis.
I love you too, by the way.
Yeah. You know,
you're the greatest wife that's ever lived.
Oh my God, that sounds like my father, man.
I have a lot of practice with that voice.
Well, he sounded like that when he was younger. my stepfather who raised me. But he, as he got older, he didn't drink hardly as much. But that's what I remember him acting like that, because he called my mom Mo, short for motor mouth, because she always talks. He's like, "Hey, Mo, come here and dance with me with some Bob Seger."
Bro, I still have the visual of my mom being ready to go on her anniversary, and I was probably 12 years old, maybe. Here comes my dad on his Harley with all his red jack, all his into the driveway. And my dad gets off and goes, "You ready?" And my mom goes, "You can go to hell. Oh, come on. What's the matter?" "Dad, I think that's not going to work right about now." And then he laughed and took off back off on the bike. And I go, "Mom, are we going to see Dad again?" Maybe not.
Now, was your dad riding and drinking?
I would say yes. And then he, like, in the last couple of years, he goes, "I swear, a couple of times I remember going home." I go, "Oh, that's really good. Thanks, Dad, for that." Yeah, he goes, "Yeah, I got on that bike at Hacienda and just, I don't remember coming home."
Oh, my goodness, Hacienda.
And he had all these friends, like, you know, Red Jack. I mean, all these names. I'm like, and then I love the one, but me and my brother still tease him. He's gone for like 3 days and some gambling thing. My mom goes, "Where were you?" Comes in the kitchen. "Where were you?" "I was with Red O'Donnell." "Oh, well, then, lumpty freaking nah. Who isn't with Red O'Donnell?" Like, that was his excuse. "Oh, I was with Red O'Donnell." "Oh, well, cross that off as a problem. Red O'Donnell, who the hell's that?"
"Yeah, who is
mom, it?" "Nobody knows." My mom goes, "Oh, okay." My poor mom, God love her.
The little mystery man.
It was just better when he wasn't there. So we're like, "Is Dad going somewhere? He's home again? Why is he home
here?
He's gonna do everything. God dang it.
What the heck are you doing here?
Sure you don't want to go out? It's Friday. Please.
I'll put gas in your
pants. I'll iron your pants for you, too." We all run around. "You need a shirt? What else you need? Brew? Don't put that. Whatever we can do." "Okay, boys, getting off the lake. Whew, better get going. There's a seat at Hacienda waiting."
You know what? Those stories with your father when I was younger sounds like the same stories with my stepfather who raised me.
Except
he didn't have a motorcycle.
That's a generation. Yeah. My dad never drank at home. Never seen him drink a beer at home. He liked to go out. I mean, that was it. He liked to go run around town.
Social drinking.
Yeah, he was a better. He liked to play dice places, and he went to all the Harding games, and that's it. He hung out at Hacienda. He was a millwright at Copperweld. He got off of work. They went to the Hacienda. If he worked midnight, he got off of work in the morning, went to the Hacienda. I mean, there was this. That's it. I went and watched him play softball, and I go, "Dad, why is everybody drinking before the game?" I was just a kid. I'm like, "Why is everybody drinking?" He goes, "That's the only reason why we play the damn game." I couldn't even put it. How do you drink before the game? Okay. That's the way they were. They had a big cooler with beer in the game. They're warming up. One blink. My dad's got a cigarette. And I'm just a kid. I'm in like H League going, "This ain't the way we warm up. Wow, this is really crazy."
Times have changed, bro.
Well, hey, thanks, Garrett. It was fun as always.
It was great, man.
Thank everybody for the continued support. It really means a lot
Absolutely.
To us. Absolutely. It really does. And again,
Ronnie Williams,
thank you. And people write little topics and send it to us or on that thread, something you might want to talk about or something that we could kick around and have some fun with, whatever.
Ask questions. Right? Yeah, absolutely. I think that'd be a good idea.
All right. Until next time. Nostra Thomas and his co-hosts know it all, and you don't.
Gary J.
Thank you for listening to this show on Youngstown Studio. If you like our programming, we invite you to subscribe to our YouTube channel, follow our Facebook page, or subscribe to your favorite podcast platform like iTunes or Spotify. This is original Youngstown content, and we would appreciate you sharing the videos and the word about us. Thank you.